This is Chris Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review and KCOH 1430 AM Sports Wrap, speaking with San Antonio Silver Stars Chief Operating Officer Clarissa Davis Reitzel. And Clarissa, first off, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And I want to just first off, for all the Houston basketball fans, ask you your thoughts on Lady Cougars forward post player Sancho Little.
Well, Sancho is definitely talented. She's having a pretty successful year. She shows a lot of versatility in the things that she does. She's real active defensively in a couple of positions. She's, you know, very, very athletic, great hands, skilled. I think really with her, what you see right now is not going to be the end for her. She has enough talent to really make an impact and to, you know, to improve. And just a solid base of, I mean, she's out there and she's a winner. She wants to win, and the sky's the limit, really, for her. So we'll see how she develops throughout, you know, her career.
And how many, I guess, chances have you had a chance to see her? I see that U of H.
I saw her last year. Of course, we were looking at Candy at the time, and I saw her last year live and throughout the tournament. And then I've seen her a lot on tape, and as you know, I saw her not too long ago live, and our coach is actually getting his opportunity to see her live as well. So generally the process is, I mean, obviously we follow their stats throughout the year, and we make those kind of comparisons when they play against, you know, top teams, and then we'll at least get a chance to see players one or two times throughout the regular season, and then as the playoffs start heating up, we'll go out and send a lot of our staff out and have that opportunity to see them. But we do support that with a lot of tape, and we compare, you know, players in like positions that are in the same draft, and we compare them when they're playing against, you know, your top 20 schools and so on.
Now, since you had a chance to see her last year as well as this year thus far, have you, just in that short year time, seen improvement in her game?
I think her role was different last year. I mean, I have. Your primate last year, just from the outside looking in, it looked like the offense flowed through Chandy, and I mean, she was kind of a play on that, and if I believe that was her, what, first year,
right,
coming off JC. So, I mean, she's always going to be a player that's active around the ball. They use her a lot. Actually, they use a lot of their tall players, their big players at the top of their pressing zones and different things. So I've seen some improvement, and I've actually seen more just because of how she's being utilized. On her within the team right now and her role within the team, so she's doing a good job for herself. She rebounds well, has great hands in traffic, and you know, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. And I mean, for any player, it's just going to be important just being consistent over time and showing up in big games, and especially when, you know, get to the tournament, especially when you talk about this year's draft. There's, you know, you kind of like, okay, who's the clear-cut number? It's not like last year where you have a clear-cut, you know, number one,
right,
number two. So it's going to be important how players progress throughout the year and how consistent they are and what they do for their teams when they get close to tournament time.
Now, would you classify this upcoming WNBA draft as deep as last year's draft?
When you talk about marquee type, impact maybe type, maybe not as much. I mean, I think that you're always going to have those years where you say, this is a deep draft. I don't necessarily know. I don't think this year you would look at it that way, and how you measure that, and I don't have the exact numbers, but you look at the end, you know, at the end of the training camp, and you look at rosters going forward for the year, and when you start seeing, you know, a substantial number of players sticking that were drafted in that year, then you would have to conclude that that would be a deep draft. So it really just depends. You know, maybe so, more so with this year, people will choose, they're looking for specific things. Because there's no clear cut, people may, teams may start to look at it, well, I have a need here, and I'll look to fill it that way. I think that there are a lot of factors in that. Of course, it's going to be the play of the players. I think it has a lot to do with salary cap. As more and more people are going into unrestricted, restricted type free agency, I mean, when you talk about, you're looking at trying to fill your roster, younger players are going to look a little bit more appealing,
right,
because of the salary. And then if you draft them, then you're getting them in multi-year deals, and you're not having to deal with all that. I mean, you don't, it can happen, but you don't want to go in through every year with a whole bunch of restricted and unrestricted free agents on your roster.
Right.
And, you know, you're trying to fill your roster. That's not a good and a comfortable situation for any team.
Now, talking about free agency, the signing period begins on February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
People who, you know, follow the WNBA seem to believe that this offseason is going to be more active than the, you know, last year or so. Would you agree with that?
I would have to say yes, and, you know, I say that on the other side, though. I think that dictated by the players and their representatives. It's just a comfort level, and the women's basketball players don't have, you know, 10 years of experience of this, and so I think, for example, there can be players that are on rosters that are playing well, and meaning you're not going to see a whole lot of movement in those top players just because of the way the collective bargaining works, and you can core players and different things, and that just gives some stability within franchises, so you don't have players leaving out of your market, and you're still trying to build and improve your product. But when you start looking down rosters and you see, now, for example, a player that, let's just say a player played here for 2 years. First year, maybe she didn't play very much, and then the second year, she really played a lot more and had a really good year, and it's a restricted year, let's just say. Sometimes in situations like that, like everybody, people have a tendency to get comfortable, and you're used to something. And change is not always it's not always as comfortable for you, and so you have to be willing to say, you know, I'm gonna test this. Obviously, if there's a team that's coming to me and a restricted free agent, they're offering me a multi-year deal, they're doing it with purpose and intent, and I'm gonna jump in the water and I'm gonna go ahead and take that. You didn't see much of that last year. You hope that maybe you see it a little bit more this year. I mean, what would be the point of having free agency if no one ever moves?
Right.
And it doesn't have to be like, oh, you're disgruntled, so you want to move. No, I mean, move can be positive depending on the player. It could be a player who may be a role player, and not to diminish that, but maybe there's a marquee player in front of them, so the probability that they'll put in major minutes is not that great. But they do have a role. Well, they could go somewhere else and, you know, put in those kind of minutes and pave a way for themselves. So I think it's just the players and the agents, and more so even the players getting more comfortable. I mean, the more the players, and this is coming from a person who used to be a player, you know, more players get comfortable with themselves and their abilities and going with what settles in their and resonates in their heart and their gut, and doing all the things that got them to where they are. Because, I mean, you're very rarely going to have a WNBA player or any professional athlete who's not willing to take risks.
Right.
And you got to be willing to do that and expand yourself. Obviously, change makes you uncomfortable. It stretches you. That's what ends up making you better. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see how that develops. But it's a lot of it is in the hands of players, and people are going to make their decisions for a lot of reasons. Some will make money decisions. Some will make decisions based on globally. How does this fit into what my in my life, and what am I going to do with this situation? Not just on the court, but how does this city fit within that? And so, everyone has a different landscape that they look at when they're making decisions about their future.
One last question for you, Clarissa. Talk about the Silver Stars players, specifically, you know, Marie Ferdinand and her health. How are the how's the health of the team? You know, the players.
Marie's fine. I actually just read an email from Marie. So she's fine. She's in Turkey. And all of our players are out, which is good. I mean, everybody's out there. They're working on their games, and they're playing and all over the world. So Marie, when she went down, I mean, it was not in our best interest or hers to really push her. I mean, we were having a down year, and she was coming off of that injury, and Marie has not, you know, she's never been hurt before in her career, and I mean, it's just a blessing that she didn't break her arm or anything and completely have dislocated where she needed surgery. So she, in August, she was shooting and doing very, very, very limited activity, and then she went home and worked herself through and took her time, and she actually got to Turkey in January, so she's fine. Everybody's healthy. Marie is excited about playing again. I think she really missed it, and you know, you've never been hurt, and you're sitting on the sideline. That's tough. So I think she'll come back with a greater appreciation for the gift that she has, and she's really excited about playing the game of basketball.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it and wish you the best.
Thank you. That was Clarissa Davis Reitzel, the Chief Operating Officer of the San Antonio Silver Stars of the WNBA. This is Chris Gardner of the Houston Roundball Review and KCUH 4 AM Sports Wrap.